that babe born in Bethlehem. They laid him in a manger. There was no room in the inn. He was born of a virgin. He was God's only son. The angels shouted in the night that Christ had come. He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory. Who was that man? Man of Galilee. He made the lame to walk and caused the blind to see. He cleansed the spotted leper. He spoke with authority. He broke the chains of sin and set the captive free. Who was that man crying from the tree? Oh, Father, forgive them for what they've done to me. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. The stone held fast door. He rose up from the grave and now it lives forevermore. He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory. He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon a tree. He was so much God, he was so much man, he was so much God that he rose in victory.
Oh man, that song right there woke up a sweat. I was sweating just listening to it. But I like those songs. Got a good truth to it. Appreciate you fellas and the effort you put in and singing that song tonight. And church, I appreciate you being here this evening and being a part of this service. We need to pray for one another. We've got quite a few people that are out ill tonight, and we certainly want to make that a matter of prayer and pray for one another. I'd like for you to take your Bible tonight and turn to several passages of Scripture. The last time that I stood behind this pulpit, I preached on the Lordship of Christ. Tonight, I want to preach about the omniscience of God and your involvement right now in the overall program of the Lord. Several places of Scripture I want you to turn. I've got some folks that are going to help me read tonight. I want you to turn to Job 37, verse 16. I want you to turn to Psalm 139, 1 through 4. 1 John 3, 19 and 20. And 1 Corinthians 13. And verse number 12. All right, everybody find Job 37:16. We'll start with that one. Let's stand together. And I believe Brother Sam Ward has this verse for us tonight. I'm going to have him read this verse. I've got four people that are going to read the scriptures for us tonight from the floor. And when they get finished reading, I will point out what I want you to see out of that verse, and then we'll move on to the next verse. All right, Brother Ward, Job 37 and verse number 16.
Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge?
Now, I want you to circle the last phrase, perfect in knowledge. Perfect in knowledge. All right? All right, Brother Hallmark, I believe you have Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 4.
O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether.
Okay, the last phrase, Thou knowest it altogether. Job said that he was perfect in knowledge. He knows everything. And by the way, one of the things we've got to understand is God is not pinned in by time and circumstances. Nothing's ever occurred to God. He's able to see everything as He sees it, and it's not necessarily from our point of view, it's from God's point of view. So here's what he says. He says, Thou knowest it altogether. And he says that God is acquainted with all our ways. All right? 1 John 3, verse 19 through 20. All right? I believe, Brother Shannon Pigott, you have that verse for us. 1 John 3, verse 19 and 20.
And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
Now, did you notice that he says, if our heart condemneth, if we ever come to the place to where we doubt God, he said, don't worry, God knows all things. He knows everything. And then the final verse tonight I want you to read along with is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number, where's my mic guy? Brother Combs, leave me. Brother Pigott, have your son run it up here to Brother Joel. Okay? Brother Haynes has our last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 12. All right, Brother Joel, read that for us.
For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
Okay, I want you to circle the phrase, now I know in part. See, isn't it amazing how we like to judge the Lord, but we only know part of the truth. We only know a part, a very small part, may I say, of what's going on. God sees everything that's going on. And I want to talk to you tonight about the omniscience of God and to look at some things that may help you from a conversation I had with a young man just a few weeks ago about this very subject. Now, Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have to be in church tonight. And, Lord, we want to learn something. We want to leave this place saying that not only have we come to the house of God and worship, but we've learned the truth. We've been able to take a nugget of truth with us tonight and to be able to take it home and assimilate it so that we might, Lord, be a better Christian, a better follower of Thee. Thank You for these dear people. Help them listen not only with their ears, but with their heart and spirit tonight. And we'll give You the glory for all that shall be done in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I met with a young man that was very disillusioned, to say the least. A Christian young man, but was not understanding some things of the Christian life. One of the things that we discussed was he didn't understand how God operated. And one of the things that we talked about, he says, I want to ask you this, preacher. He said, if God knows everything, then why? And then he went on with a list of things of why do we do this, or why do we have to do this, or why do we do this or that or this thing or that thing? If God knows everything, then what are we here for? Well, I want to try to answer some of those for you tonight. And because I'm probably in the same room tonight with maybe some folks who may have the same thinking or line of thinking that this young man has, that if God has all knowledge, if God is omnipresent, if God has all power, then what's he need me for? Right? And there may be some here tonight that are limiting your relationship with the Lord because maybe you just don't understand how God's operating and how God thinks and what he's doing right now, even tonight. Now, as I said, many of us limit our fellowship with the Lord because we're limited in our understanding of his omniscience. By the way, which just simply means that God knows everything. He has all knowledge of everything, eternity past, present, and future. He knows everything about you. By the way, let me tell you something to boggle your mind. God knows exactly what every one of you are thinking in this room simultaneously, and he's not even confused. And he knows everything, so you better clear your mind up. Because he knows exactly what you're thinking. And I know some of you are thinking, man, I wish you'd hurry up. I'm tired. I want to go home, get me something to eat, get me one of them jum burritos after church. Get out of here. Now, what I'm saying to you is that many of us limit our relationship and fellowship with the Lord because of just some not understanding. Now, let me say this to you, church. God has predestinated a plan and a purpose and desires you and I to be a partaker in that plan and in that purpose. Now, I truly believe that many here in this room want to participate in the plan of God. I believe you want to participate in the purpose of God. But what happens is the reason so many don't participate is because they don't understand what the plan is and the purpose of the plan. And yet God has already predestined that and wants you and I to get involved in it. Now, how can I be effective in my service for Christ if I don't have a grasp and understand how God operates in my life and through my life? How can I be an effective Christian? How can I be an effective servant? Well, the answer to that is I can't. And the reason I can't is because I lack some understanding. Now, understanding is when your mind and my mind is able to grasp or apprehend the real state of things that are presented to us. God has presented, he's perfect in knowledge. He has presented, I know all things. And he said, and by the way, so that you'll understand, I know all things, but you only know in part. Now, what you've got to understand and I've got to understand is and accept the fact that I only know in part. But I don't have to operate just on partial knowledge because I have the Word of God that tells me I have an omniscient God. And he's laid out a plan and wants me to be involved in it. Now, with that said, some of us are going to have to settle some things in our heart. First of all, tonight, if you haven't settled this, you need to settle that God is eternal and there has never been a point in time that he has not existed. No beginning and no ending. You say, I'm sorry, I can't believe that. Well, you know what? You're not going to be much of a servant for God then. Because you're just going to have to accept God has no beginning and no ending. You've got to settle that in your heart tonight. Number two, we need to settle that God is in total control of everything. Now that goes against some of our grain. Because you know what? We won't be in control. And we don't like it when we can't figure things out. And somebody else is in control of something we have no control over. But you better accept the fact that God has everything under control. And that you and by the way, accepting the fact that without his control, you ain't going to exist. And I'm not going to exist. Because everything is under the omniscient, omnipotent hand of God. He's in control of everything. and you are not. Now, once we come to that understanding, we can move on to the next thing. But you're going to have to grasp this and understand this, or we're not going to be what we need to be. And we're not going to be able to participate in the plan and purpose of God like He desires us to. Number three, God created us for His eternal purpose and not ours. Now let me say that one again, because some of us think that it's all about us. And it's all about our life and our ministry and what we think and what... And by the way, the rest of the world, hey, you know what? It can go jump off a cliff somewhere if it don't believe like I believe. And that's what we come to the conclusion of. But it's not about us. You see, God has created us for His eternal purpose. And not ours. Now listen, you get a hold of that, then you'll understand, like this young man who was confused, disillusioned. Brother Todd, don't understand. If God knows everything, why? You get a hold of that, and you're going to be getting some of what I want to give to you tonight and help you to understand that, listen, we serve an omniscient God, and it's about Him and His purpose and not our purpose. Number four that we need to get a hold of. God, now you'll need to listen carefully now, God did not create evil. Evil is the product of sin and a prideful will. Do you know there was a time when in eternity past that God had created everything and everything was perfect and everything was in harmony? But one day, one of the greatest created beings of God, Lucifer, decided he was going to have a different opinion than Jehovah God. And out of that prideful spirit came evil from sin and the fall. People will say, well, I don't understand why, if God knew it was evil, why did He create evil? He didn't create evil. Evil finds its source in the product of a prideful, sinful will. You need to understand that and get a hold of it. Number five, God knows everything before it ever happens, or He couldn't be God. God knows everything before it happens, or He could not be God. Now, with that one, take your Bible, if you would. Go to Matthew chapter 10, if you would, please. Now, you need to keep your Bible handy there, because we're going to use that tonight, all right? We're just going to let the Bible do the talking for us. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 29. God knows everything before it happens, or He could not be God. God knows the thoughts of every person alive today, as I mentioned a while ago, simultaneously. He's not confused. Doesn't bother Him at all. He can handle it. Why? Because He's God. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 29, if you would please. The Scripture says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? That means that sparrow didn't fall out of the air that God didn't know about it. You say, I bet He didn't know that sparrow was going to fall. Yeah, He did. Yeah, sure did. He said, well, I just don't understand. How can He do that? Because He's God and He knows, has perfect knowledge, and you know in part. Look at verse 30. Then He goes on to say, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some. Now, you can shave your head if you want to. He's still got them counted. Because some of you, what do they say, follically challenged? Is that what it is? There's hair there. It's just screaming to get out. Right? Now, what I'm saying to you tonight, that you say, what does that matter to God? Well, if it didn't matter, you can put it in the Bible, right? You know what He's trying to tell you and I? I got perfect knowledge. You don't know the number of hairs on your head, but I do. You didn't know when a sparrow fell from the sky, but I did. He said, and by the way, you don't know. All you know is in part. You don't know in whole. God says, I know in whole. I know everything from beginning to ending. Next, God has given man a free will to make choices in his life. Now, the amazing thing about our Almighty God is He could do anything that He wanted to, right? But do you understand that He chooses not to impose on your choice? So I don't understand why. Well, these choices, when God gives us a free will to choose, these choices that are made by our free will determines how God deals with us about salvation. Because I get a free will to choose whether to be saved or not be saved, right? And then once I make my choice at the end of my life, guess what? Then God deals with me based on my choice. He did not intervene in that choice. He allowed me to have a free will choice. And so He deals with me based on my salvation or my choice, either to be saved or not to be saved. He also deals with me on the blessings in this life, whether I choose to do right or not do right. And therefore, He deals with me accordingly. By the way, He also chastises me accordingly. And you know what it's all based on? My choice. Guess what? You say, man, I get to choose whatever I want. Fine, do whatever you want as long as you're willing to pay the price for it. I have people all the time say, I can do whatever I want. And you're exactly right. Go ahead, bro. Do whatever you want. But you better be willing to pay for it. Okay? And by the way, do you know what? That's God's attitude. Hey, no restraints here. No strings attached. I saved you. I want you to serve me. But if you don't, go ahead on. Now He says, now here's what I want you to do. Before you decide to go, won't you take time out to read the Bible with people made the same decisions that you're about to make. And I'll help you to understand what's going to happen to you before it ever does. Because by the way, you only know in part and He knows in whole. And what He's trying to do is give you some idea of what's going to happen to you. He says, so won't you go read that just in case you decide to go that same direction. He also deals with me based on my choice, not only salvation, blessings of life, but He also deals with me in the future with rewards. By the way, that's when we get to heaven and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and some of us are going to have great expectations. Let me say that again. Some of us are going to have great expectations. And you know what? We'll think that, man, I can't wait. Man, I'm telling you, I'm going to get everything. I'm going to hold my hands out here. Just drop her right there, Lord. Just dump it all right here. And you know what? He says, you won't need that. Oh, I need something bigger? No, you'll need a thimble. Because he said, about all you got as far as reward is coming to you is about what I can put in a thimble. Well, wait a minute. Didn't I serve you through the bus ministry and through the Sunday school class? Didn't I do all that? Yeah, but you did it with the wrong motive. You wanted that reward. You wanted that plaque for the campaign. So you know what you got? There it is. And guess where it is? It got burned up. But you got what you wanted, right? But Lord, a thimble? Yeah, a thimble. And by the way, you better thank God I've had grace or you wouldn't have that. Now, what I'm saying to you tonight is this, church, is that God gives man a free will, and He has chosen not to impose on that will. Now, you say, okay, help me to follow. Here's the key to the whole sermon tonight, and we'll move on. Listen carefully. The plan of God is foreordained. God has already put in motion the plan of redemption and His will for your life. He already knows what the will of God is for you. He knows what His perfect will is, Brother Waits, for your life before you were even born. He already knows what it is. And you know what? One of these days, Brother Waits is going to stand before God, and you know what he's going to be judged on? He's going to be judged on his works, whether it be good or bad, based not on his will, but on God's will for his life. Just like I'm going to be judged on the same thing. Now the thing about you said, oh my goodness, I better find out what the will of God is. Well listen, you better hurry up and get with the program because you've lost time. You better find out what God's will is and get in it. But the plan of God is foreordained, but I want you to listen to me, church. Listen to me. It's not automatic. Let me say it again. The plan of God is foreordained, but it's not automatic. Now, let me give you an illustration. Most young people, at least they did in my time, they may still do, they like to get cars. They like to interact with a car. You know what I'm talking about? They like that stick. Now, they're not too real keen on that clutch because that's how they burn those suckers up. Because sometimes they forget to engage that rascal all the way. Amen, Brother Elmer? They forget to engage that clutch. Now, they like that interacting. That car is called a standard shift, which means that that transmission will shift, but you're going to have to interact with it to make it work. But some of us, as we get older in life, we would prefer the automatic transmission, which means there is no interaction, and it just shifts involuntarily. I'm going down the road, and I hear it kick, and it just shifts, and man, I'm just enjoying it, and you know what? I'm not participating in it at all. Now, listen carefully. If the plan of God is foreordained but not automatic, I'm afraid there are some of us in here want God's plan to be automatic for everybody. That means where it's all, He does all the work and we do nothing. But you know what? I got some news for you. It ain't that way. God's plan has already been foreordained, set in motion, but it's not automatic. And if it's not automatic, that means there has to be some shifting. There has to be some interaction going on your part and my part in that. You see, although God's plan and purpose is foreordained, it's going to require some motion on our part to get it moving in our life. Now you listen carefully. If God allowed His plan to become automatic, then He would infringe Himself on your choice. So therefore, the plan of God is already set forth. He's already set it forth in motion. You say, well, but if He knows everything, why? Why do I have to do this or that? Let me give you another illustration. My oldest son works for a company called Arnold International. Arnold International is a company that is one of the leading companies that provide parts for General Motors. In his particular area that he works at Arnold International, he puts together, I think it's called a suspension arm. And he puts those things together day after day after day after day after day after he can put them together in his sleep. And he puts these things together and they put them on a rack. Forklift comes, picks the racks up, goes and loads them on a truck, and he does that all night long. Now, can I say this to you? Those suspension arms are for the cars that are made here in Arlington. I think it's a Suburban and a Tahoe. I think that's the two they make here. If you work for General Motors, you can correct me. I think that's the two. But can I say something to you? He don't have to know anything about a Suburban. He didn't have to know anything about putting a Tahoe together. Matter of fact, he didn't have to be concerned about how they put it together. All he's got to be concerned about putting that suspension arm and making sure that it's put together the right way. Because then, you know what? Somebody else will take that and then it'll all come together in the plan. And guess what? After a few hours, they spit out a Tahoe. And it's got one of those suspension arms that he put together at Arnold International. But you know, he didn't have to know how to put the car together. All he had to do is be concerned about his little job. Amen? That's all he had to be concerned about. And can I say this to you? You ain't got to know everything. You don't have to know all about how things are going to happen and how God's going to piece everything together. You know what you need to be worried about? About your little area and putting your little suspension arm together. That's all I need to be concerned about. You see, that's what I was trying to help this young man understand. He says, but if God knows everything, why? I said, listen, it's not your job to figure out everything. It's your job to put your suspension arm together. Because that's what your job is. I just don't understand. If I can't see the Tahoe and the Suburban, I don't think I can do my job. Fired. Because, can I say something to you? That's the reason a lot of people won't serve God, because they think if they can't see everything in the whole picture, they can't serve. If I can't see everything, Lord, you know what? Phooey, I'm not going to do anything. You know how long he'd last at Arnold International if he went to the the manager of the warehouse said, listen, if I can't see that Tahoe that this is going on, I ain't putting it together. He'd say, fine, see me in my office. Well, what's happening? Well, if you have to see everything to do your job, I don't need you. Well, no, you don't understand. I got to see it all. Well, you know what? There's a bunch of people out here that ain't got to see it all, can do the same job you do. So you know what happens, folks? On the highway of life, there are people, Christian people, because they couldn't see the whole picture and God wouldn't reveal to them the whole picture, they're wrecked. They're stalled out on the side of the road. And you know what? They're waving at some of you trying to get you to come help them. Just worry about putting your little suspension arm together. You don't have to see the whole picture. You don't have to know why everything's happening. You don't have to know, you know why? Because if you do that, you'd be right up there with God. And he said, that's not the way it is. He said, all you do, you have to be concerned about understanding. I've got perfect knowledge, the Lord says. And he says, right now, you're just going to know in part. And he says, you know what? You're going to have to be satisfied with that. Well, I'm not satisfied. Adios. Because you're not going to be much of a servant for God. Because if you've got to see everything and understand everything, you're going to be hard up to serve God. Now, let me give you some things, some questions then, and make some applications that I think will help us tonight in this particular area. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If God knows everything, here's my first question. Why live a separated life? Hey, I'm saved. Do what I want to, right? Dress how I want to. Listen to whatever music I want to. Go where I want to. Look at what I want to. Hey, I'm saved. That's the attitude of too many. If God knows everything, then why live a separated life? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20, will shed some light on that. You'll know it when you get there. The Scripture says, for you are bought with a price. By the way, if you didn't want to be bought, what'd you come for? Well, I didn't realize all this was involved. I didn't know. Well, you know what? I didn't care. When I walked that aisle and got saved and come to Christ right here, I didn't care about all these other peripheral things. I just wanted to be saved. You see, I decided, you know what? I'm going to pick up on this other stuff later, but the main thing I need to pick up on right now is Jesus. And that's all I was concerned about. See, we're concerned about way too many things that are out of your control and out of my control. And some of us in this room are going to have a nervous breakdown, a spiritual nervous breakdown, because we're trying to control or we can't figure something out. Don't worry about it. God says you bought with a price. Now listen to this. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Like I said, some people are just going to have the attitude, hey, I'm saved, do whatever I want to. So if God knows everything, if He's omniscient, He knows it all, He knows I'm saved, what does He care what I do, what I listen to, where I go? Well, first of all, why should I live a separated life? Number one, because He told me to. Romans chapter 12, let me read you a phrase. You don't have to turn there. Verses 1 and 2, one phrase. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then he goes on, he says, now when you do that, you'll understand what the perfect will of God is. You better get in it. You know how it comes finding out? Don't be concerned about God and all the things that He's doing right now. You just be concerned about following Him. And the reason we live a separate life, because He commanded me to live a separated life from the world. Number two, the reason I live a separated life, or we should live a separated life, not only commanded to, but it glorifies God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Just flip over a couple of chapters there. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Have you circle a word here, okay? Whether therefore ye eat or drink Or circle the next word and tell me what it says. Is that what it says in your King James Bible? Does yours say whatsoever? What does that mean? That means whatsoever. Everything. You say, what does that mean? Define what everything means. That means everything you're involved in your life. He says, and whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That's all you got to understand right there. We do it because it glorifies God. Number three, why live a separated life? Because we exemplify right. Don't turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Does not the Scripture say that we're to follow His steps? That means if I'm to follow Jesus' step, that means that where He steps, that's where I need to step. That means where the direction He's going, that's the direction I need to be going. So when I live a separated life, what it does is we exemplify right. Let me ask you this. If God knows everything from the beginning to the end, then why even stand up against abortion? You know why? Because it's wrong. That's why, and the Bible says it's wrong. Why speak out against homosexuality or same-sex marriages or people living together? Why even say anything about it? Because it's wrong. That's why. Why speak out about contraceptives being made available to kids in school? You know why? Because it's wrong. That's why. Why speak out against evolution being the only opinion available in our public schools? Why, parents, should you go up there and raise Cain? Because it's wrong. God wants us to be separated. And speak up. Stand up. Why speak out against vices like tobacco use or alcohol or pornography or drugs or vile programs on TV? Where, listen, these things are killing our families, they're killing our marriages, they're killing our churches. Why even do anything? God already knows what's going to happen. And listen, how many times have you heard this? You can't change anything. Isn't that funny? Because it seems like, Brother Sam, I read somewhere in the Bible that Moses changed the mind of God. Because God says, you know what? I'm tired of these folks. Step aside. Listen, my anger is waxed hot. You know what that is? That's hot. And you know what He wanted to do? He wanted to annihilate them all and start over. But you know what the man Moses did? He says, oh no, Lord. Because if you do that, you know what the Egyptians are going to think? You know what the world's going to think if you do that? Oh, and you know what the Bible says? God repented. You say, wait, tell me, how can He do that? Because He's God. And by the way, it doesn't compromise His deity one iota. Amen? All I'm saying to you is, you know what? Why live a separated life if God knows everything? See, most people will say you're wasting your time because you can't change anything. By the way, since when has changing anything become the criteria for being separated? I didn't say I was going to end up changing anything. I'm doing it because God told me to do it. I'm doing it because, you know what? It glorifies Him. My goodness, folks, we need to take a stand for something. Now, let me give you the life truth here that I think He's trying to teach us here. And that is, if God knows everything, why live a separated life? He's trying to teach us submission. I think He's trying to teach us submission to authority. Because, folks, I don't know everything. I only know in part. But God knows everything. But listen, He commanded me to be separated. He commanded me to glorify Him. He commanded me to stand up against wrong. So you know what I need to do? Do it! Amen. You say, but I can't figure it out. Well, if you got to figure it out, if you got to figure out the Tahoe and Suburban before you can put the suspension arm together, you're going to have a hard time serving God. Because the Bible tells me that, you know what? The just shall live by, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Number two, if God knows everything, why witness to lost people? By the way, doesn't He already know who's going to be saved? And who's going to be lost? Come on, talk to me now. That's not a trick question. Does he not, as God, when he's omniscient, does he not already know who's going to be saved? Yes, he does. Does he know who's going to be lost? Yes, he does. And you know why they're lost? They're lost because they want the plan to be automatic. Just save me, Lord, and live how I want to. And you know what? We'll all be saved in it. I'm sorry. God don't drive automatics a standard. Listen, we want God to do everything. Now, you listen to me carefully. What more do you want him to do? He gave his only begotten son. He took your sins and my sins upon himself. He's already paid the debt. What we want God to do, we want to lay back. We want him to force feed. We want him to drop those grapes in our mouth. We want God to do everything. He said, no, I foreordained the plan, but it's not automatic. You're going to have to engage in the plan. So if God knows everything, why witness to lost people? Well, let's take a look here. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that amazing? You know what that is? That's part of that foreordained plan. Everything, God has already completely finished and has foreordained the plan, set the plan in motion. It's not going to be automatic. People are going to have to actually receive Jesus Christ. They're actually going to have to believe by faith, through grace, accept Him to become their Savior. Listen, God's already finished the plan, but you and I have to understand that God needs you. How many times do you ever pray, God don't need me? Then how is he going to get done? Oh, God can do anything. Yeah, sure can. With people who are willing to submit. You say, but he don't need me. So what about those people down there in such and such country? What about them? You know why they're dying and going to hell? Because they won't make nobody submit. They won't nobody surrender. There won't nobody say, hey, I'll go witness to them. I'll go down there and surrender. I'll go down there and start churches. I'll go do this. So you know what's going to happen? They're going to go off into eternity without God. You say, is that God's will? No, not at all. But without the gospel, you know where they're going to go? To hell. Because the plan is not automatic. You see, God already knows who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. You say, okay, then why should, if he already knows that, why witness to the lost? Anybody want to guess what the first one is? Because he commanded us to. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, not to select creatures, but to every creature. You say, oh, he already knows all that. I know, but you know what? I go because he tells me to go. Next. We're needed to get people saved. By the way, yeah, God knows who's going to be saved. Guess who he's going to use to go get them saved? He's going to use you and me. And if you don't go, there might not be somebody get saved. But here's the next comeback. Oh, he'll just use somebody else. He'll just use somebody else. You going to take that attitude with your grandma and grandpa and just let them die and go to hell then? Oh, I can't do that, Brother Todd. He'll just have to use somebody else. What's going to happen? You get a phone call in the next couple of days. And he didn't use somebody else. You see, this thing starts getting a little personal once you start digging a little bit deeper here. You see, God needs us. And remember, foreordained plan, not automatic. We're the ones that God's going to use to get them saved. Some might say, well, you know, we need to let the Holy Spirit draw them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you know what I do when I go out soul winning? Sure, the Holy Spirit's going to draw them, but I go out there and give them the Word, and give them the Word, and as I'm giving them the Word, the Holy Spirit's working and working and working and convicting and working and doing His job. My job is to get the Word out. My job's not to convict anybody. My job's to tell the truth. My job's not to... Listen, I can't save anybody. My goodness, if I could save anybody, I'd save myself, but I can't. And I needed help, just like you and I did. But I didn't have to understand all about the Tahoe and Suburban to get saved, now did I? My goodness, if I had to know everything about the Bible to get saved, I'd still be lost. Because I can't understand, man, that's an infinite book. The very words of God here. And by the way, when we go out and witness to the lost, we glorify God by producing fruit. John 15:8. Isn't it amazing that both, why should we live a separated life? Why should we witness? Isn't it amazing how that the Holy Spirit weaved into the Scriptures that both of those is because we do it because we glorify God? Does that tell you something that maybe God wants glory? Does that tell you that maybe He's not getting all the glory that He deserves in our life and through our life? Number three, if God knows everything, if He's omniscient, Brother Todd, He knows it, why should I live a separate life? I'm already saved. Why go witness? He already knows who's going to be saved. Number three, oh, by the way, let me give you the life lesson there, obedience. Obedience. He said, go, what should we do? Obey. But I don't understand. He didn't say to understand. He said, go. By the way, did Abraham understand when God told him to go? Sure didn't. But did he go? Yeah. Did it work out for him? Boy, it worked out great, didn't it? You know why a lot of people in their life are going to live their whole life and they're going to come to the conclusion and say, man, God wasn't so great in my life. You know why? Because you didn't go. He said, here's the will. And you said, nah, boy, I don't like that will. Let's go to plan B. There is no plan B. It either you go or you don't go. It's either my will or your will. Why, number three, why give to the church? By the way, can't God support His own church? Talk to me now. Can't God support His own church? Does He not own the cattle on 1,000 hills? Does He not own everything? Then what's the deal? What does He need my money for? Can He support the church? By the way, He doesn't need my financial support. He owns everything. That's the question. And people say, so why should I give? You guess what the first one is? Because He commanded us to. In Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. Boy, this is getting old, isn't it? This is getting monotonous because it seems like everything, and when I ask why, you're just saying because He told us to. Are you catching on yet? I don't have to understand the Tahoe. I don't have to understand the Suburban. All I got to do is just put my little suspension arm together. That's all I got to be concerned about. And you know what? Whatever Tahoe it goes on, whatever Suburban, I can care less. I don't know. Listen, I just make sure I better do it right so I don't cause an accident or something out there. So I got to pay attention. It's going to take concentration. It's going to take work. But if God knows everything, Brother Todd, why give to the church? Because He commanded us to in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10, bring the tithes into the storehouse. We find out in the New Testament the storehouse is what? And last time I checked Ephesians chapter 5, just read it the other day. He said He loved the church. And then on top of that, I better love what He loves. He said, well, why should I bring it in the storehouse? Because He told us to. I don't have to know about Tahoe. Just do this suspension arm. Just put the suspension arm together. Bring it to the house of God. Why? Because He commanded us. Number three, we need God's financial support. He said, I don't. Yeah, we do too. You know why? Because most of us in here are bad financial managers. And we need some financial help. And folks, I learned this a long time ago when I got on on God's economy, the economic program of God. Man, I'm telling you, it was so much better. You say, why? Because I'd give and He'd give back. But the amazing thing is the Scripture says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 that when I gave, he would give good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Wait a minute now, shall men give into my bosom? How about that? You say, wait a minute, I thought God gave it to you. Yeah, but he can move on people's heart to give to you. Why give to the church? Because I need to get on God's financial program. See, God's program don't make any sense to most of us because his programs you got to give to get. And we've bought into the ecosystem of the world that you got to get to give. Oh, I'm sorry, preacher, I don't have anything to give. You know why? Because you ain't been given. Amen. Why give to the church? You know what the life lesson here is? God's trying to teach us faith. Listen, folks. Can you imagine what God... I got a $5 bill here. And God says, 50 cents. 50 cents, that's all? 50 cents. So I pull my 50 cents out and looked at it and thought, man, I got $4.50. God says, yeah, you know what? But I can do more with that 50 cents. You can do more with that 50. Oh, no, I got more than you got, God. I got $4.50. I can do more of that. He said, no, I can do more of that 50 cents, and you can do that $4.50. And most of us don't believe that. So you know what we do? By the way, if God knows everything and owns a cattle on a thousand hills, he can support his own church, right? Oh, by the way, Brother Todd, Jesus said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. You see, you can use all the scriptures you want to use in the world to not give to the church. But you still, it's a command from God. Number four, if God knows everything, why serve in a ministry? Why even lift a little finger to serve? Well, let's take a look at what the Scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse number 5. The Scripture says, and this they did, speaking of the church at Corinth, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now notice this. And unto us by the will of God. Scoop down to verse number 8. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of whose love? Your love. Why serve in a ministry? God, hey, he already knows everything. He's got everything under control. Why even serve? To prove the sincerity of your love. To prove the sincerity of your love. He is master. You are servant. Right? Master, servant. That's not hard. Master, servant. I served to prove the sincerity of my love. And as a servant, do I have to see the Suburban? Do I have to understand how the Tahoe's made? No, to serve, all I got to do is put my little suspension arm together. That's all I got to understand. And you know what? As long as I'm putting my suspension arm together, I'm in the will of God. Because that's the will of God for me. Why serve in the ministry of the church? You may want to guess what the first one is? Because he told us to. Because he commanded us to. Also, listen, church, it's an opportunity for you now to be a giver rather than a taker. You know what I did most early in my Christian life? Took. I come to church. I enjoyed the electricity. I enjoyed the nice pews. I enjoyed the fellowships. Enjoyed the food. All that. You know what I did? For the first time, I took. Stinking taker. Until I figured out God wants me to serve, and then I decided, you know what? I'm going to stop being a taker and start being a giver. And it gives you and I the opportunity to move from being a taker to a giver. God commanded us, hey, listen, I also reap the benefits of a reward. You know something? I don't have anything to give God if he don't provide me some way to give it back to him. You say, oh, yeah, I do. I got a nice car. Huh? he want a car for? Oh no, Brother Todd, I got a big bank account. What's he want your money for? No, Brother Todd, I got this or got that. Listen, you don't have anything, just like I don't have anything to give to him, except he provides me a way to earn a reward so that one day I have something to give back to him. Why serve in a ministry? It's an opportunity to drive a standard instead of an automatic. It's an opportunity for me to engage and give back what God has given me. And by the way, my favorite part of this, why serve in ministry? Hey, God already knows everything. He's already in control. Why even serve? Because I get to be a part in the plan of Almighty God. And the amazing thing to me is He even provides and gives me an opportunity to even be a part of it. That's what blows my mind, that He even gives you and I an opportunity to do so. Here's the last thing. Let me give it to you. Matthew chapter 6. Turn there if you would, please. This young man said, preacher, God already knows everything. And he made this statement. He said, if God already knows everything, why do I even have to pray? He already knows everything. Well, look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 8. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 8. Matthew 6, verse number 8. The scripture says, Jesus speaking says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, when? Before ye ask Him. Look at verse number 32, same chapter. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Look at chapter 9 and verse number 4. Chapter 9 and verse number 4. Remember the old smart aleck Pharisees and Sadducees? Man, they like to get over there and murmur and gripe and stuff. Look at verse number 4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Hey, God is omniscient. He knows everything. Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to ask for anything? He already knows what my needs are. See, here's the thing. It goes back. Now, you know what we want Him to do? We want everything to be automatic. We don't want to do anything. We just want Him to supply our every need. We want Him to answer whatever we want Him to answer and live like the devil. You see, we don't want to meet the criteria that God requires for answered prayer. What is He trying to teach us here, church? Well, first of all, He's trying to teach us dependency. To depend on Him, you don't have to see everything. He's trying to teach us dependency on the Lord, Matthew 7, 7. He's trying to exercise goodness in my life. He said, I have not because I ask not, James 4, 2. By the way, this is one of the main mediums through which He speaks and convicts. No prayer life. No voice of God. No understanding of His will. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to roam around our entire life in the wilderness and die without ever having been in the will of God. Because we feel, well, if God knows everything, there's really not even no need for me to pray. You see, God expects me to make contact with Him. What's the life lesson here? Fellowship? Is that not why God created us? For fellowship? And can I say this to you, church? In the end, He's going to get His way. You know how I know? Because I read the end of the book. And you know what? How it's all going to end up? We're going to be fellowshipping again. God's going to get His way. You say, but I don't understand it. I just can't figure it out. Don't worry about figuring it out. The Scriptures already says, hey, listen, I understand the truth. All you know is in part. Except the fact. You're not going to know everything, but that does not negate the fact to not have a prayer life and not be separated and not witness and not serve and not give. Just because I don't understand the suburban Tahoe doesn't mean I can't put this suspension arm together, because that's all I need to know. He said, when am I going to find everything out? In due time. In due time. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've gone long tonight, church. I'm going to stop right there. You know, maybe there's some here tonight like that young man. Say, Brother Todd, I've been guilty. I've kind of pointed a finger at God here or there, and maybe even yelled out, why? Why do I have to do this? Why do I do this? Or maybe you're tonight and maybe that question has come into your mind and said, Brother Todd, I don't understand. Why do we need to go sowing? And God already knows who's going to be saved, because He needs you to go get them saved. Why do I need to give? God already owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, Brother Todd. You know why? Because you need to get on the giving program of God. You need to get on the economy of God. You need His financial support. And so do I. Maybe you're here tonight. Say, Brother Todd, I've been guilty of casting that why question to God probably way too many times. And it's really hurt me in my walk with Christ. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Say, Brother Todd, would you pray for me? That's been me. Why don't you slip your hand up high? Said, I brought that why question to God a bunch of times, and I've questioned things. Would you pray for me? Just slip it up high. Don't be embarrassed. Hey, listen, we've all done it. We've all done it. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. With your heads bowed and eyes closed. Remember I told you that one of the things we had to accept, that God will not intervene on your free will choice? Though I do not know, because I only know in part, why God has done things in and through your life, but I know this, that He's going to work all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I don't have to know why. I just got to accept it. If you're here tonight and you slipped your hand up, I'm not going to have you. We're not going to stand just yet, but if you feel that you need to come to the altar and deal with the Lord concerning that, you feel free to come while I'm talking. You see, all God's going to do in your life and my life is influence. God's going to bring influence into your life because He doesn't want your life to end up a shipwreck. So He's going to bring people into your life, and He's going to bring situations and circumstances into your life to try to influence you and I to do right. But He will not force the choice, but He will influence. Saul of Tarsus had a choice. God slapped him down on the road to Damascus, influenced him, and the next thing came out of his mouth is, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? He had a choice. He could have said, he could have kept walking, but he made a choice to turn to Christ. Pretty good choice. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, Brother Todd, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I can't remember a time. I can't go back in my mind's eye and think of a time that I've been saved. If you're like that tonight and you say, boy, I sure want to be. Why don't you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. If you're here like that tonight and you say, Preacher, would you pray for me? I don't know for sure. If I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Not sure that I'm saved. Just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? All right, maybe you're here tonight. You've already been saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized. You say, Preacher, I know that that's what I need to do. I know I need to be baptized. And I know it's right from the Scriptures. But I've not done that. Would you pray with me that I'll do that and I'll make that right with God? If you're like that tonight, I want you to slip your hand up. Slip it up way up high and say, pray for me. Brother Todd, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I've been saved. Anybody like that? All right. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you tonight would say, I'm just going to have to trust God. This thing of serving God and the Christian faith is just, we're going to have to do it by faith. But how many of you tonight would say, Brother Todd, I'm guilty. I've been guilty of trying to figure out the Suburban, trying to figure out the Tahoe, trying to figure out how everything's going to operate in the future in my life, and trying to do all that, and I've neglected my duty of putting my little suspension arm together. I've neglected what God's will is from life because I've been trying to figure out everything. You say, I'm guilty and I need to make that right. I want you to slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Slip your hand up. I've been trying to figure things out. Instead of putting my little suspension arm together, I've been trying to figure out the whole mechanism. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, bless this invitation. Those that have raised their hands, please allow the altar, Lord, to be a magnet to them, to draw them to this place tonight. Do business with God. Have thine own way, we pray in Jesus' name. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand. As the instrument begins to play, Brother Bruce is going to begin to sing. The invitation will not be long. You come tonight if you need to deal with God on any subject. If you just need someone to pray with. If you're a lady and you need a lady to pray with, come tonight. We have people that will be glad, ladies, to pray with you. If you're a man here tonight, you need somebody to pray with, come. We have many of our staff members here to be willing to pray with you. Maybe you've been trying to figure out the overall picture. Don't worry about figuring out the picture. Just put your suspension arm together. Just be concerned about your little section, your will that God has for your life. See, when God sees your life, He sees everything inside His perfect will for you. That's the reason He wants you to be conformed to the image of His dear Son.
And set me free.
Sing it through one more time.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine.
All right, just the end.